The Exile. Written by 13th Blackbird and read by Litra. A Star Wars Thrawn fanfic. Rated explicit. With the pairing Thrawn Eli Vanto. Part 4 of the Winterverse series. Summary. After the Rebel victory in the Galactic Civil War, all Imperial officers are designated war criminals, including a certain Grand Admiral of some renown. When news of the Empire's collapse, and Thrawn's imprisonment, reaches the Chiss Ascendancy, decisions need to be made, and fast. Message Origin Ascendancy. Destination Imperial Space. A friend requests your status. A series of messages exchanged between 2BBY and 7ABY, Galactic Standard, recorded at a relay beacon at coordinates 62T408R25/E235N/352L. The Edge of Unknown Space. Begin transcript. Primary Channel. Message, Origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy. Fleet moved to Lothal. Analysis of Imperial strategy against small-scale insurgency follows. Primary Channel. Message, Origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy. Insurgency growing in strength and influence. Notes attached. Primary channel. Message origin Imperial Space. Destination Ascendancy. Imperial stronghold on Lothal destroyed. Civil war imminent. Stability at critical period. Fleet to move to Scarif. Objective unknown. Primary channel. Message origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy. Battle of Scarif analysis follows. Imperial situation precarious. Insurgency united, gaining central leadership. Imperial superweapon operational. Notes on superweapon attached. Transmission tunnel created. Channel, secondary key, 903A7. Tunnel, key, 903A7. Message, origin ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space. A friend requests your status. Primary channel. Message origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy. Superweapon used on Imperial populated world. Notes on this development attached. Tunnel key, 903A7. Message origin, Ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space. A friend requests your status. Primary channel. Message origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy. Battle of Yavin analysis attached. Superweapon destroyed. Political stability continues to falter. Tunnel key, 903A7. Message origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy. General political and military status report attached. Tunnel key, 903A7. Message origin, Ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space. I meant personal status. Notes on current events on Cilia attached. Tunnel key, 903A7. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
This relay is for mission reports.
Tunnel, key 903A7. Message, origin, Ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space.
This is a secure channel for personal reports. You know it's me.
Status of oath intact.
Recently accepted a promotion to captain in the CEDF, but would prefer previous position. Admiral's aide.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
I did know it was you. Congratulations on promotion. Far better than previous position. Status of oath intact.
Tunnel, key 903A7. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
A friend requests your status.
Primary channel. Message, origin, Ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space. Unable to access last transmission, please resubmit. Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Overall, current political and military status update attached.
Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Victory at Hoth report attached. Situation stabilizing.
Tunnel, key 903A7. Message, origin, Ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space.
My personal status, improving. Sorry for the delay. Oath intact.
Tunnel, key 903A7. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Previous status unsatisfactory? Please advise immediately. Oath intact.
Tunnel, key 903A7. Message, origin, Ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space.
Previous status unimportant. Current status optimal.
I'm fine.
You? Oath intact.
Tunnel, key 903A7. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Current status unimportant. Oath intact.
Tunnel, key 903A7. Message, origin, Ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space.
Your current status is important to me. Be careful.
Oath intact. Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Second superweapon under construction. Analysis of this development attached. Stability nominal.
Tunnel, key 903A7. Message, origin, Ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space.
Official analysis of most recent development was sarcastic even for you.
Personal analysis of development requested. Offered merit adoption. Joined Clan Kress. Personal status. Curious about friend's status.
Tunnel, key 903A7. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Personal analysis of second superweapon. In a word, idiotic. Congratulations on merit adoption. Not my clan? You have left CEDF? My personal status, unremarkable. Oath intact.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message, origin, ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space. No, of course a different clan. Cannot partner with someone in the same clan. Honorable discharge, CEDF. Long story. Personal status, complicated. Oath, intact but under siege. Clan obligations. Tunnel, key 903A7. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Do your duty to your clan. Oath unimportant. Cannot partner with someone light years away.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message, origin, Ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space.
I know what I have to do. Don't give me orders. Distance unimportant.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message, origin, ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space.
Siege 1. Oath intact.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Oath intact here as well. Thank you.
Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Notes on Battle of Endor and destruction of second superweapon attached. Civil War essentially lost. Fall of Empire expected. Analysis of situation to follow.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message, origin, ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space.
A friend requests your personal status, given the last official transmission.
Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Further analysis of Imperial efforts following critical defeat at Endor.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message, origin, ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space.
Your personal status? I'm worried. What's going on? Oath intact.
Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, ascendancy.
Further analysis of evolving political and military situation. Notes on Battle of Jakku attached. Situation declining rapidly.
Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial Space. Destination, Ascendancy.
Further analysis of evolving political and military situation. Surrender under discussion. Forthcoming, after action reports for future reference.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message, origin, ascendancy. Destination, Imperial Space.
Personal status? Please answer. Oath intact, as always.
Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial space. Destination, ascendancy.
After action report submitted. Re-personnel and systemic tactical errors made in confronting loosely organized insurgency.
Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial space. Destination, ascendancy.
After action report submitted. Re-role of mysticism and underestimation of the same in defeat of Galactic Empire.
Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial space. Destination, ascendancy.
After action report submitted. Re long-term failures of hierarchy in Galactic Empire.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message, origin, ascendancy. Destination, Imperial space. Please answer. Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial space. Destination, ascendancy.
After action report submitted. Re-analysis of overall errors of agent assigned to mission.
Primary channel. Message, origin, Imperial space. Destination, ascendancy.
Terms of surrender accepted by Imperial Remnant. Copy attached. Notes on potential members of new government attached. Analysis overall. Charismatic. Idealistic. Disorganized. Do not approach for allyship. Status unstable. Instability likely to continue indefinitely. Total mission failure.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message, origin, ascendancy. Destination, Imperial space.
Demand personal status update. Extraction requested? Present coordinates? Oath intact.
Tunnel key 903A7. Message, origin, Imperial space. Destination, ascendancy.
Cannot provide requested information. Extraction unnecessary. Indeed, impossible. Personal status unimportant. Oath intact, as you say. Always. Farewell.
No further messages recorded. Relay station shutdown and self-destruct scheduled. A transcript of a conversation which occurred at the central offices of the Chiss Aristocra. Chisplar, Cilia. Day 7, Cycle 14, Year 6450, circa 7 ABY. At 0230 hours.
Come in. Oh, of course. I was expecting you a lot sooner. The representative of the first ruling family recognizes the representative from the second.
You know this isn't an official visit. Speak basic, in case we're overheard.
I know that. Tell me your plan, then.
The council meeting today was a sham. It can't just be me, right? Tell me you thought so, too.
They said they'd consider taking action. They were willing to discuss your proposal.
As an exercise, considering taking action means they'll debate it for a year, and the decision they'll ultimately make will be to put it up for further study before it even goes to Parliament. We don't have a year. We probably don't even have a week. We should have been talking extraction 2 years ago, but our Alani refused to admit that her plan was going down in flames until...
All right. I do agree with you. The meeting was a mere indulgence. A thought exercise. You're right. They won't take action in an appropriately timed fashion. You can sit down, you know.
I'm sorry, I just...
No need to apologize. I understand what this means to you. So, am I right in assuming you're here with an alternate proposal? For my consideration only?
I'm going. You can consider it or not, back me or not, but I'm going.
Just you?
We don't need the CEDF involved. We don't need a diplomatic contingent. You've read the reports. The place is in shambles. They're still rebuilding. Their leadership is inexperienced. Now is the best time to go.
The report said not to approach them.
You read the report. He's not... Anyway, it said not to approach them for allyship.
You'll approach with threats, then?
I'm not sure how I'll approach. I need to assess the situation for myself. But I won't promise or threaten anything we can't back up. They can't afford to irritate a potential ally or inflame a potential enemy right now. I'll make them walk the line between the two.
Improvisation has always been your strong suit.
Well, the expert tactician was taken.
I hope my brother fully appreciates your loyalty.
We've honored our oaths to each other. I'm sure of that.
I can tell. What do you need from me?
A ship? Cover? If this is successful, it will be a credit to the first ruling family.
And a public relations coup for the second.
That's our specialty. Human interest. That was a joke. Don't tell me you don't understand the subtleties. Your basic is...
No. I understood it. It was just a terrible pun.
Fine. A ship. Cover. That's all I'm asking for. Take the credit if it works. Disavow me if it doesn't.
All right. Agreed. When will you leave?
Now.
Tomorrow morning. Let me prepare a few things. Another night won't make that much difference, Eli. I think you will succeed. But you have to let me help. Tomorrow morning, I swear. Agreed?
Okay. Agreed. Thras?
Yes?
Thank you.
A coded transmission sent from a relay station on the outskirts of Chiss Ascendancy-controlled space to the temporary headquarters of the Provisional New Republic Senate, Chandrila, circa 7 ABY. Chancellor Mon Mothma of the New Republic... My greetings. I will shortly be arriving as a representative of the Chiss Ascendancy to meet with you in order to discuss the extradition of our native citizen, Mithron Urodo, lately Grand Admiral of the Imperial Navy, 7th Fleet. It is my personal hope, as well as that of members of the 5 ruling families and the aristocracy, that we will reach a mutually beneficial agreement regarding this matter. Please prepare for my arrival privately. I wish to meet you alone. With respect and honor, Syndic Cres Il Vanto of the 2nd Ruling Family, former Captain, Chiss Expansionary Defense Fleet, former Lieutenant Commander, Imperial Navy. A clandestine meeting near Hana City, Chandrila. 7 ABY. Mon Mothma's research into the Chiss had turned up bafflingly incomplete information. A mixture of myth and truth that was impossible to sort out. The former Republic had had little to no contact with them, nor had the recently fallen Empire, aside from the discovery of the Grand Admiral, on an isolated world, years before the war. Records on that occurrence were very vague indeed. The man himself, the only member of that species who could confirm or deny the information she had found, was not inclined to speak to her, for obvious reasons. And she wasn't exactly inclined to reveal the communique to him. Someone who had so recently sought her destruction and the destruction of all she valued. A prisoner. A war criminal. The question of what to do, in general, with the imprisoned former heads of the Imperial Navy had been hotly debated, off and on, for the last 2 years. Every method of dealing with them, the admirals and other high-ranking officers that were in custody, particularly the famous ones, had been suggested. Summary execution, arguments were lodged for making the executions public or private, depending on the speaker. Lifelong imprisonment, a chance at rehabilitation, a series of public tribunals, the list went on. Meanwhile, they languished in prison. They were treated well, of course. The New Republic was not the Empire. Her research into the former Imperial officer who seemed to have gained the ability to speak on the behalf of an entire civilization, Eli Vanto, was similarly baffling. True enough, he had been a lieutenant commander, an aide to the man in question, Grand Admiral Thrawn. But before that, he'd had a relatively obscure career. Officially, he had died in a shuttle accident shortly before the war had broken out in earnest. Someone, somewhere, was lying. She wasn't sure if it was the records or the person who had written the communication, and there was no way to tell. For her to tell, at least. Mon Mothma turned to look at the man who stood beside her. Luke Skywalker was quiet, thoughtful, as he scanned the Chandrilan sky. He was very different from his sister, Leia, who was one of Mon Mothma's closest friends. One of her closest friends, and a war hero, and an influential member of the new and still shaky New Republic Senate. And, as much as Mon Mothma admired her friend, she knew that Leia was also quick to act and quick to judge. When Mon Mothma had confided in Luke about the communique she had received from the unknown regions, he had, understandably, been confused as to why she would tell him rather than his sister, or anyone else in the Senate. "Leia is passionate," she had said. "Passionate and idealistic. We need idealists in this government, to be sure, but..." He had looked at her with a clear, blue-eyed gaze that was somehow innocent and unsettling at the same time. She forgot, sometimes, how young he and Leia were, to be so influential in their respective spheres. "I'm no politician, Chancellor," he had said. "But I think I understand what you mean. Are you sure I should be there? The message asks for you alone." "I need your insight," she had said. He had his own path to attend to. He couldn't play a human lie detector for every Senate session, as she might wish, but surely this once, in such a delicate and unknown situation... "You want me to tell you whether this representative is being honest?" "I think I can do that. Intent isn't always straightforward, though. People's motivations are complicated, even sensed through the Force." "I'm aware," she'd said dryly. but I'd like to know if this is a friendly overture, a threat, or something else entirely. And I also need your discretion. I am perhaps being unwise in complying with these terms. I have prepared a contingency if it goes poorly. Luke had agreed to honor her requests. That made her feel only slightly more confident. Maybe it was wishful thinking. Maybe it was foolishness. But she was tired of war, and even of what had come after victory, which couldn't truly be called peace. Arguing the fine points of setting up a new government, trying to keep all of its lofty ideals intact while still having to deal with real problems, problems that didn't fit neatly into an idealist's worldview. If she could solve a potential diplomatic crisis quietly, with little involvement from the other members of the Senate, it would be better for their stability. Doubly so if she could, equally as quietly, dispose of one of those prisoners with a famous name for whom no one could agree on an appropriate verdict or sentence. If these Chiss were sending only one representative and had reasonable demands, well, there were much thornier problems awaiting her elsewhere, and all of those were much closer to home. For all her political skill and experience, as she watched the strangely fitted ship set down in the agreed-upon scheduled spot in the Trandrillian Highlands, she still wasn't sure if she made the right choice. The man who stepped out of the ship, his hands raised above his head to indicate the absence of weapons, certainly matched the appearance of the file hollows of a younger Eli Vanto. Brown-skinned, dark hair, dark eyes. He was perhaps 40 now, she guessed, his hair just beginning to go gray at the temples. There was a hint of a scar, probably years old, running horizontally across his face, stopping at the bridge of his nose. But it didn't mar his good looks. He wore an elaborate gray robe-like garment, with a dark red collar and trim. He approached her almost casually, no indication of fear or apprehension in his posture. She tensed slightly and glanced at Luke, who was frowning absently, looking into the middle distance at nothing. He caught her silent question and nodded at her. Safe, then.
Chancellor Mon Mothma?
My greetings, and the greetings of all who serve the Chiss, Vanto said with a respectful bow. His voice was deep and even, with a hint of an accent she couldn't quite place.
I am not armed and have brought no guards with me as a guarantee of your safety. I enter the new republic in peace and with trust.
The greeting sounded formalized, which meant there was probably a scripted response she was supposed to give. Of course, she didn't know it. She opened her mouth to reply, but the man gave her a wry smile before she could say anything.
Obviously, he said, you don't have any reason to believe me. I won't be offended if you want to search the ship or take my biometrics to prove my identity. I'm dead in your records, after all.
He eyed Luke.
And thank you for mostly honoring my terms, Chancellor. I expected more guards and a lot more blasters pointed at me.
Mon Mothma collected herself, falling back on familiarity. Syndic Cress El Vanto, of the second ruling family, formerly of the Empire, I offer you my personal welcome. Unfortunately, I cannot greet you on behalf of the Provisional Senate or the New Republic as a whole, in deference to your terms. However, your commitment to peace and trust is appreciated, and rest assured that it will be returned in kind. She turned to indicate Luke, who still seemed lost in thought. May I also introduce Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, she said. His presence will eliminate the need for such a search, although I will take your biometrics. My apologies for violating your wish for a wholly private meeting, but I am sure you can understand the need to evaluate your oath of good faith. Vanto held out his hand for her to scan. To Luke, he inclined his head.
Master Skywalker, my greetings. It's an honor to meet you. News of your deeds has spread even to the unknown regions. Mon Mothma watched as Luke turned his distant, steady gaze on Vanto.
Greetings, Syndic, Luke said softly. To her, he said, he keeps his oaths. All of them. It was the first time Vanto had shown any reaction, any body language other than confident readiness, and even then the change was so subtle she nearly missed it. He stiffened and leaned away from the Jedi for a fraction of a moment. Then the confidence was back.
Yes, I do, Master Skywalker, he said easily. Chancellor, I would like to see the prisoner in question before we discuss terms.
Thrawn grimaced as the New Republic trooper jostled him for the dozenth time, setting off the stun cuffs yet again. Once or twice would have been explainable as an accident, but more than 10 was subtle cruelty. He expected that, though. He knew what he represented to those on the other side of the Galactic Civil War. The winning side. His eyes had been covered, so the two troopers on either side of him were steering him along, although he was careful to keep his own footing. Occasionally he could feel them quickening their paces to keep up with him, which was darkly satisfying, at least. He hadn't been told where he was being taken, but he hadn't expected to be told. He had learned not to ask. The New Republic was not the Empire. There had been no torture since his imprisonment 2 years previously. No physical torture, at least. But for a man who once thrived on a steady diet of information, considering all the possibilities, mapping the future, being kept ignorant was as bad as being starved. He wondered if the Republic government had, at last, found the strength to conduct the executions of their imprisoned Imperial officers, but doubted that was so. It was the obvious solution to the problem they presented. But as he had reported to the Ascendancy, the people in charge of the New Republic were indecisive, idealistic, and democratic to a fault. He didn't think that was likely to have changed much in the interval. Thrawn's eyes remained covered as he was pushed into a speeder. He could feel the movement of it for a longer period of time than he had expected. Then he was marched unceremoniously into another unknown place, descending a number of stairs in the process. Somewhere underground? He was still on the same world as the prison, Chandrilia, at least. His transport had been land-based. At last, the blindfold was removed. The two troopers who had led him retreated hastily as he blinked slowly at them. They had left him cuffed, and he held his bound wrists in front of him, carefully as he examined the place. It wasn't a jail cell. It seemed like a room in a private residence, actually. Certainly underground. There were no windows. It had been stripped of furniture. There were faded areas on the walls and dents in the floor where objects had been removed. Nothing that could be used as a weapon, obviously. No breakables, no bed, so no covers or anything that could be turned into a rope. No windows, and one door which he didn't even try. It would be locked, and those troopers would be on guard.
He sat down on the floor, back against the wall, to wait.
Eli hadn't expected the Jedi. He probably should have after reading Thrawn's report on the role of mysticism in the defeat of the Galactic Empire, as he had put it. The people of the New Republic clearly put a lot of stock in these supposed powers. As far as the report had said, those who possessed them were rare. Skywalker might even be the only one currently. Eli guessed he should be flattered that he ranked that kind of scrutiny, but the man's piercing blue eyes and distant manner had been extremely unsettling, to say the least. And the knowing tone in his voice when he'd quoted Eli's own words about oath-keeping? What else had the Jedi been able to see? Eli's true motivation? Would it be used against them? Was he still being watched, mentally, or even controlled? Eli suppressed a shiver, even though there was no one around to witness it. There was no use in thinking about that. If the information had been gained, there was nothing he could do about it now. At least Skywalker had taken his leave. Almost immediately after the Chancellor had led Eli to a speeder driven by a nervous-looking New Republic soldier. From his position inside, Eli had watched Skywalker and the Chancellor exchange words. They seemed friendly towards each other, though the Chancellor was more deferential towards Skywalker than Eli would have expected. Skywalker was barely more than 25. And held no official political role as far as he knew. But now that Eli had actually met the man, he knew that Skywalker's power and influence, wherever they came from, were undeniable. Eli put the experience out of his mind as the speeder and its entourage, a small contingent of military vehicles, which was closer to the kind of threat display he had expected, despite his request for discretion, pulled up outside of a residence. The task that had brought him here was more important than a mystic's scrutiny. It was small, but well-appointed, in the Chandrillian style, which Thrawn had always admired for its minimal and graceful lines. The house was set into a cliffside, and was surrounded by artfully haphazard landscaping. The Chancellor herself was an island of serenity between the tense troopers who accompanied her to escort him to the residence. "Welcome to my home, Syndic," she said, as though this were a social visit. "In keeping with your request for discretion and to display my trust, I thought this would be the most appropriate place for us to meet." "I'm honored, Chancellor," Eli said, impressed. Her choice to hold this meeting at her own home was an elegant solution. It put him on the defensive while allowing her to keep the upper hand and appear magnanimous at the same time. Thrawn's notes on the Chancellor had uncharacteristically underestimated her. But then, Thrawn's reports at the end had all been out of character. The Chancellor led Eli to the basement of the dwelling, to a nondescript door, guarded by two more wary troopers, a human man and a Twi'lek female. Eli's stomach was in knots. Living among the Chiss for 10 years had broken his habit of clasping his hands together when he was nervous, but his fingers twitched at his sides. Mon Mothma nodded at the troopers, and they stood aside, unlocked the door, and opened it. Thrawn was seated on the floor, straight-backed against the far wall, looking warily at the door. 10 years. It had been 10 years since that day on the Chimera, and it didn't even matter. Eli looked at Thrawn, who had seen him now, had recognized him, and was rising to his feet, taking a half-step forward. And Eli could swear that he could feel the oath they'd sworn to each other as it pulled taut between them. The weight of it was a physical thing. He wanted to turn and punch the troopers flanking him, steal their weapons, run back to his shuttle, and get the hells out of here together. Thank the gods for 10 years of chiss stoicism.
Well, you said it was a long story, but I anticipate it is also an interesting one, Cindy. I'm afraid you must have misunderstood my last message.
Thrawn said in Chiyun, as if it had been 10 minutes since they'd last spoken instead of 10 years. Hey, the human trooper said, looking at the Chancellor. You can't... It's a great story, Admiral, Eli said in the same language. He couldn't resist sparring with Thrawn, even under these circumstances. I know you enjoy my stories. I'm looking forward to telling you when we're in private. And I understood your message perfectly. I just disagreed with your conclusion.
Thrawn closed his eyes, bowed his head without replying.
Chancellor, they shouldn't... They should speak basic.
Syndic, I'm afraid that he is correct.
How are you being treated, Thrawn?
Eli said urgently, disliking Thrawn's slumped posture, his aura of defeat and powerlessness, so different from his confident, commanding officer.
Before we have to switch, tell me if I should take this place apart when we leave. My oath is intact.
Thrawn looked up, his face blank, but his voice, at least, had a little of the subtle humor Eli remembered so well.
My treatment has been fine, Eli. No need to get theatrical. It is good to see you. My oath is intact as well, for what it is worth.
Artfully understated as per usual. Good to see you, too. And you know exactly what your oath is worth to me,
Eli said. He was glad of his hard-earned, unemotional mask. How it was keeping him from reaching out, revealing himself in front of the Chancellor and her soldiers. Syndic, I really must request that you and the prisoner speak only basic, Mon Mothma said. We have displayed our trust. Surely you can see how conversing in a language none of us can speak is a test of that trust? The Chancellor considered them with only faint disapproval, while the troopers were barely keeping themselves from leaping at him. Eli remained still, looking at Thrawn. He gave Eli his chiss grin, the corners of his mouth turning upward ever so slightly. It seemed like an expression long disused. Eli let himself relax a little and turned to the Chancellor. Apologies, Chancellor Mon Mothma. We were just exchanging personal greetings. Surely you can see how a man who hasn't heard his native language for 10 years would want to hear it from an old friend?
Of course, Syndic, she said placatingly. However, I still insist.
All right, I can agree to your terms, Eli said, as though he were doing her a favor. May I ask that your troopers withdraw for a moment while we discuss? The two troopers protested, but the Chancellor dismissed them. She had to, Eli knew. She had hampered herself by keeping this discussion from her Senate, and she wouldn't trust random troopers to keep its true purpose a secret. To Thrawn, he said, in basic,
Mithroni Rodo.
I bring greetings from the second ruling family as their representative, and from Syndic Mithra Sophis, in his capacity as representative of the first ruling family. The Chancellor has agreed to hear our proposal for your extradition, that you may face justice in the Ascendancy rather than in the New Republic for your crimes.
The First Ruling Family,
Thrawn said slowly.
Yes. Mithra Sophis has been...
Eli kept his face impassive as he turned to the Chancellor for a moment. Sorry, Chancellor, this doesn't exactly translate. He switched to Chiyun for only the very beginning of his sentence. a very good friend to me, and also a real pain in the ass to the aristocracy. For the last 10 years, your clan's status has risen accordingly.
I would expect nothing less from him,
Thrawn said, similarly straight-faced.
Understood, Syndic, Chancellor. I will await the outcome of your discussion. For myself, I will say only that I indeed deserve to face justice, wherever it is ultimately meted out.
Eli studied his expression. The expression on Thrawn's face, right there, feet away. It seemed unbelievable. But didn't detect anything but truthfulness and resignation. Eli only had the official reports to go on when it came to Thrawn's experiences in the Empire since Eli's departure. But they hadn't appeared pleasant. When they were alone, he'd get the truth. I want the stun cuffs removed, Chancellor, Eli said, turning to leave, wishing he could add something reassuring to Thrawn in Chiyun. That is unnecessary cruelty. I think you'll agree.
Thrawn could hear the two troopers arguing in harsh whispers outside the room.
No, you do it. Twi'leks are stronger. No, you do it. I have seniority. Yeah, by about a week, Jessica. Come on, don't make me. He'll rip me apart.
He walked over to the door and said, in a low voice, Neither of you have anything to fear from me. Thrawn really didn't want to admit how much he enjoyed the moment of stunned silence that followed. Both troopers ended up entering the room, the human pointing a blaster at Thrawn with fear in his eyes, while the Twi'lek disabled and removed the cuffs. They left as quickly as possible, never turning their backs to him.